God is so good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And hello to all of you. God bless you on this cold Sunday morning. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We give you praise and glory, for you are King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God, that you teach us, that you help us, that you, Lord, that your word go forth today. And just bless, Lord, each one that's here, Lord. Bless this Sunday school class. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. He is good. Praise God. Today in your books, how many of you, and I do it sometimes, go through your day by day and read the day by day and just answer the questions at the bottom? Does anyone do it? Okay. So I'm the only one? Sometimes. Okay, I don't do it for every lesson, but I do on occasion. And there were some just really cool things in here. I like the one when it talks on day three, it says, you know, God uses various means to bring people to those aha moments. So he said, this is what it says. Maybe if you're going through something, maybe it's a setup. Look for God's hand in the matter. And it was that time where it says, you know, those are those aha moments where it's like, wow, okay, Lord, you did this. Or this cataclysmic event that is orchestrated by God can be, the book says on day three, the best thing that ever happened to someone. I was like, okay. And you know what? We're talking today, this is choosing to be a disciple. And we're going to look at some scriptures today. I have a ton of scriptures, and I'm just going to refer to them, read them. And I'm using the King James Version and also the Student Spirit-Filled Bible today. I just like it because it just explains so nicely, so nicely. So this morning, we're going to read from our lesson text found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And God is going to bless this lesson today and bless you because you have a heart to be a child of God, a disciple of God, because you're here for Sunday school this morning. Praise God. Here we find four fishermen at this particular portion of scripture called to be disciples. And I'm going to read here. It says, So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that they stood by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon, the fisherman, answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. So they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And in that portion of scripture it says, "And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Wow. The greatest opportunity that we will ever have in our lives will to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Praise God. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He being the one who created the universe. He being the one who is our savior of our soul. He being the one who we have a hope for eternity. Lord, that the Lord would let each one of us have a heart to follow him and to be his disciple. So he chose his disciples, and today I want to talk about us choosing to be his disciple, to be his disciple. Being his disciple is not only the best decision we could ever make, but it's the best life-changing experience that we will ever have in our entire existence. Do you remember the time when you felt like, yes, the Lord has called me, and yes, I will obey, yes, I will answer, I will go, Lord? And we think of songs, and I thought of this song. Remember the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? You know, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then just the world behind me, the cross before me, you know what? I have decided to follow Jesus. Everything else when you do that looks dim. It doesn't glow like he does. It's not as bright and brilliant, but he is. Praise God. And I like the men that Jesus called to be his disciples, we too have to decide to follow him, because they could have chose differently, but they didn't. They did not choose differently. And the thing is with our lives and our relationship with the Lord, in the end, when it's all said and done and we're taking almost our last breath, it's all about our own personal relationship with the Lord. That's what it is. It's not your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your friends. It's your relationship with him. What does that look like? And what has that been like for you? So being a disciple is, Lord, I just want to be as close to you as I possibly can. I want to live this life, this journey, and breathe in your spirit and be as close to you as I possibly can. Remember or consider that rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, I would like to have this eternal life. What should I do? And Jesus said to him, sell everything you own and give it to the poor and follow me. The moral of that story is that for the rich young ruler is that nothing you own is more valuable than being a disciple of Jesus. Nothing in your life is more valuable than being a disciple for Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:14, Paul says this. He says, but God forbid that I should boast or glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, but whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Praise God. Lord, let it be that we glory in the cross. Let it be that we are going to boast in the cross. And if there's anything to boast in, it's the cross, what he did at Calvary for us. And Paul goes on to say, though which the world has been crucified to me and I have been crucified to the world, Paul's saying, you know what? The world's dead to me. After what I have experienced in Jesus Christ, what greater thing could there ever be in this world? So we look at that, and I found this quote, and it's from a gentleman, Eugene Peterson, and he says this. He says, today there is a great market for religious experiences, but little enthusiasm for patient acquisition of virtue. Few people sign up for a long-term apprenticeship that what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. And in that, the word disciple, because apprenticeship, you can say like a disciple, literally means a learner. It means someone who follows another's teaching. And for this reason, the disciples were spoken of as imitators of their teachers. And the goal of the disciple, as stated by Jesus himself in Luke 6:40, is this. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Praise God. Praise God. To be like Jesus. Again, to be like Jesus. That song, on earth I long to be like him. Let that be our heart's cry. To be like Jesus. I want to be like him. And discipleship, I could say, equals apprenticeship. And then I thought, has anyone ever done an apprenticeship? here, like maybe you did. What was yours, brother? Pipe fitting. Awesome. Because I know when I worked for this supply company that was selling electrical supplies, the apprentice electricians would come in with their electrician. And they were learning. So there's apprentice welders, apprentice other things. So that is what we are, basically, an apprentice, a disciple of the Lord. It is a long, patient acquisition of virtue that we have ahead of us. And that's what it's all about. It's a long-term, lifelong apprenticeship or discipleship. So what are you going to do for the rest of your life? I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I signed up for in the long haul. And that's what the disciples signed up for in the long haul. They signed up for the long haul. And I want to be with him day in and day out. And he's going to change me, and he's going to transform me into his image. And praise God, it's a beautiful thing. And I know you feel the same way today. Praise God. Isn't it amazing how God's Spirit works in our lives to bring us to places and to people that we never imagined, right? Places and people that we could have never imagined. On our own, we would have never had the resources, let's say, in the earthly resources, the spiritual resources, in our emotions, to do the things that we are able to do when God brings us to that place, when God puts that person in front of you. And that is what we're equipping ourselves to do, even this morning. I want to learn more about how I can be a better disciple for Jesus Christ. And a disciple is someone who has decided that the most important thing in their life is Jesus Christ, period. And they want to be more like him. And praise God. So I'm going to look at the book of Luke today a lot for attributes of being a disciple for Jesus. And there's a whole bunch of them, and I don't have to number them or anything, but there's just so many. So I'll just go until my time is up. Praise God. First of all, a disciple is called. Luke 5, 1, and we started reading that we started reading 5, 1 through 11. Jesus called the disciples, and they left everything and followed him. That's, to me, amazing. They left everything. Those two words pretty much says everything. And then I would say, are there things in your life today that you just cannot leave behind, that you feel that's dragging you or holding you or drawing you so that you can't follow? Is there something in your life today that would be like a weight that's making you say, I just can't leave it? I would say today, put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and allow him to bless you, because we're going to go on to see that there is not one thing that the Lord would ever have you give up that he would not replace 100-fold, the Lord said. Praise God. And he does that. Praise God. And that was a big thing for me when I was kicked out of the house as a teenager because I served the Lord. That was a big thing for me. I thought, wow, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is my first challenge. Goodbye. So long. Where are my jars of salmon that I would get from my mama? That until she got to a place where she loved me enough for what I loved, those jars of salmon stopped, and then she would always can salmon, and I ate salmon and rice. I lived on it. It was wonderful, you know, but I sure miss that that's something you miss about home, right? It's like, man, I sure miss that. And then there was a day when she must have realized that I was going to continue living my life for the Lord no matter what. And she liked me, and I wasn't a terrible person. And just because I chose to live my life for the Lord, I didn't bring my Bible around, and I was not thumping her around with my Bible and telling her all the great things I knew that she didn't know. Help us, Lord, because some new Christians do that. They just scare off their whole family. And when it happened, it was like, she goes, do you want fish? Do you need fish? yes, please. I mean, he's like, wow, thank you. That was a beautiful thing. I missed that. Praise God. We are called to be disciples. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He saved us. He called us for a purpose. And not because of what we do, but because of who he is. Praise God. Praise God. So a disciple is called first. And then a disciple is someone who is taught. So with that, Jesus spent a lot of time investing in his disciples, teaching. He sat with them. He ate with them. He prayed with them. They washed their feet together. They probably swam in the lake together, whatever they did. You know, they did life together is what they did. They did this journey we call life together. And in Luke chapter 6, that beautiful portion of scripture where we have the Beatitudes, where he speaks about the Beatitudes, we learn about loving our enemies in that same chapter. Praise God. He really just hit it in Luke chapter 6, didn't he? He talked the Beatitudes, loving our enemies, not to judge others in that same chapter. Wow, isn't it interesting? He went from love right to don't judge. I mean, if you're loving folks, you're not judging. You know what? And if you're praying in the Spirit, you are loving. You are not judging. You know what? Praise God. Whether it's your brethren or the world, really, there is one judge, and he is great, and he does a great job, and thank God we don't have to wear that judge's crown, right? Praise God. But you know what? Disciple is someone who is taught. So with that saying, that implies in a big way that we have to have a teachable spirit. If you're taught, you need to have a teachable spirit. Man, if I don't have a teachable spirit, pray it out. Just pray it out. Get over it. Get back to Jesus. It's all going to be okay. It's okay. You know what? The Lord wants to teach us. And the disciples were taught. We're going to see how they were numbskulls. And guess what? The Lord gave them like, bink, you idiot. I'm going to show you what you can do, because that's exactly what he did. But did he not still love them? Absolutely. He loved them more than anything. I mean, he loved them. The disciple of Christ is a follower. And probably something that's not really defined or implied, it is true. The disciple follows. That's what a disciple does. The disciple doesn't lead. The disciple follows. And we are a follower of Christ. Praise God. The disciple is aware of the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Jesus reveals to his disciples that some things that other people would never understand, because he revealed it to them. He opened their eyes. He opened their understandings. He said to the disciples, he has given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Then his disciples asked him, saying, and this is in Luke chapter 8, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, saying, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. We are given revelation from the Lord himself. Praise God. And that is a gift. That is a gift and a blessing for us, just being a disciple. A disciple is a servant, one who serves. Luke 9, 14, 17, the disciples distributed the food to the hungry people. They worked in service. They served, and then they served, and then they picked up, and then they served again. So bless you, all of you who serve in that particular way. They served and served. It says, for there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples. He set before the multitudes to set before the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and the 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. The disciples did this. That's not a small task, okay? When you're serving 100 people, if you're serving 5,000 people, that's a big job. They were probably run off their feet. Their knees and back and ankles were probably sore at the end of the day, but they did it. Praise God. Disciple is a person who proclaims the kingdom of God. Oh, praise God. And Jesus sent his disciples / apostles out to proclaim the word of God. Each of us has been sent out to proclaim the word of God, the kingdom of God. And there was this poem that Lawrence Tribble wrote during the time of the awakening. It's called Awake, and it's two paragraphs. It says, "One man awake awakens another. The second awakens his next door brother. The three awake can rouse a town by turning the whole place upside down. The many awake can make such a fuss, it finally awakens the rest of us. One man up with dawn in his eyes surely then multiplies." Praise God. Praise God. You know, that word of encouragement, that word to your brother, sister, even a non-believer, that word, because it's his word and it's from heaven, it's divine, it's eternal, it changes things. It changes atmospheres. It changes even a conversation. It changes. It's like God's peace just comes in and settles, and you are well aware of his presence because of his word. His word is amazing. So good. In scripture, it says in Luke 9, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." And I'm reading from the Spirit-filled Living Bible. "He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, 'Take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor bag, nor bread, nor money.'" And I'm going, wow, I need my travel bag, my rolling travel bag, so I don't have to lift it, so it just rolls. "And do not have two tunics apiece. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Praise God. That's what the disciples were doing. Praise God. They were sent to proclaim the kingdom of God. And that's what we get to do. Isn't that a blessing on our part? We get to do this. The disciple confesses Jesus as the Christ. Luke 9, 18 and 20 says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, 'Who say the people that I am?' They answered, said, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the prophets has risen again.' And he said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Peter answering said, 'The Christ of God.'" Praise God. Praise God. The disciples confess Jesus Christ. We confess Jesus Christ today. Praise God. And a disciple is someone who is a witness and witnesses. And the apostles walked with Jesus. They lived basically with him. They saw the works he did. And I'm sure that there were many people that looked on from outside thinking, wow, I sure like to see what they're seeing. I'd like to see all the things they get to see. And maybe long to see those same things. And you know what? They got to see the miraculous firsthand with the Lord. And they got to then proclaim that miraculous to people. Praise God. God is so good. We get to see the miraculous and proclaim it. Proclaim Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of those ones. A disciple is one who denies himself and takes up his cross, the Lord's cross. Luke 9, 23 through 27, it says this, "And he said to them all, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Whew, yeah. You know, I like a lot what John the Baptist said in John 3:30. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. And that is really part of taking up our cross. He must increase, I must decrease. Lord, we want you to be greater in our lives. I want you to be greater in my heart, in my soul. Praise God. And I want to be a committed disciple, committed to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one in Luke 9, chapters 57 through 62, right in there, it says, well, towards the end, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The thing is about the disciples that he called is they were just ordinary people. They weren't superheroes. They weren't living on another planet. They were living on earth. They were like us, like men and women. They were ordinary people doing and called to do extraordinary things. And we are ordinary people called to do extraordinary things. Remember, they were called, but they had to choose to follow. So the Lord may be calling you, and maybe he has called you to do something extraordinary. And you've stowed it away back here. It's there. It's there, right? But have you chose to follow what the Lord asked you to do? You know, we have to choose to follow what the Lord has asked us to do. When we look at our lives, look at the disciples' lives. They fell asleep when Jesus asked him to pray with him, them to pray with him. They bailed out after he was arrested, right? Peter denied him 3 times in one night. We're like, man, we're not going to be like them. But have we answered the call and done exactly what the Lord has called us to do? We too are called to do an extraordinary thing. Praise God. Remember that we serve an awesome God. And when he calls us, which is great, he calls us, he equips us to do that extraordinary thing, whatever it is. You may think, there's no way on this earth that I could ever do that thing. There's just no way. How could it ever happen? Whether it's financial, whether it's spiritually, whether it's location, whatever excuse you give, God is awesome, and there is nothing that he cannot do. When he puts his blessing upon it, he's going to help you, and he's going to help those around you to make it come to pass. Praise God. Praise God. And I thank God for that faith. Lord, speak and breathe faith into us to know that you are able to do anything. All things are possible. Praise God. A disciple is a cross bearer and a cross counter. Luke 14, 26 through 33. There is a cost. There is a cost. Perhaps that cost is family, friends. Perhaps it's time, comfort. Likewise, it says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all he has, of you does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. When you look at it, none of it's ours. We are just caretakers of what the Lord has given us. We don't own this. It's his. So when you look at tithes or offering, okay, that's another teaching lesson. It's not ours. It's his. He allows us to be a steward and like just kind of be an accountant and take care of things that he's given us. It's not ours. Praise God. There is a cost, absolutely. But a life serving the Lord is a life lived with no regrets. Right? No regrets. On that day when the Lord takes me and I go home to be with him, I want to just be able to say, thank you. I lived a life pleasing and no regrets. I just want to live a life for you, Lord, completely 100%. I want to be sold out, just sold out. Jesus did rebuke his disciples. So the disciple, okay, this is where it's a tougher one, is rebuked. Luke 18, 15 through 17. But rightfully so, you'll see. When we submit to Jesus, we acknowledge his authority. Amen. Authority to correct us when we need to be corrected. And that's just basic authority, submission. Yes, you corrected me. I submit to your correction. The disciples were rebuked by Jesus. The Lord's rebuke is evident, and it shows how much he loves his children. And the scripture says, then they also brought infants. Okay, folks, listen, infants. Those are babies practically, right? To him, that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, shame on them, they rebuked him. But Jesus called to them and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. See, we give a lot of high praise to the disciples, don't we? But the Lord also gave them a little rebuking, and he schooled them up. Thank you, Lord. Not letting the little children or infants come touch Jesus. Come on, right? I mean, so obviously they needed some teaching, right? So they were being taught and they were learning, but they still needed some correction at times. Praise God. A disciple, I love this. A disciple is one who praises God. Following Jesus is not just about doing and serving, but about worshiping. And Luke chapter 19, like I'm taking most of these scriptures from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19, 33, but as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing nigh near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And this is what they said, church. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him for the crowd, and they said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your own disciples. Rebuke them. But he answered and he said to them, to the Pharisees, he said, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Praise God, right? The disciples were worshipers of the Lord. Praise God. And they didn't just worship him like, okay, you know, but it was with a loud voice. And they couldn't care less who was there. The Pharisees were there, obviously, whining. But you know what? But we're living this life so we can spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. Praise God. And you know what? If we can't worship him now, because this is what Revelation 5:13 says in the message. I like this one. It says, I looked again. I heard a company of angels around the throne, the animals and the elders, 10,000 times 10,000, their number, thousands after thousands after thousands in full song. The slain lamb is worthy. Take the power, the weather, the wisdom, the strength. Take the honor, the glory, the blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and earth, in underworld and sea, join in. All voices in all places singing. To the one on the throne, to the Lamb, the blessing, the honor, the glory, the strength for age and age after age. Praise God. You know what? Praise God. We're called to be worshipers because one day we're going to spend eternity with him. Praise God. We should be able to worship him at least a little down here because one day we're going to spend eternity forever worshiping him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to spend time with him. I want to spend time with him because he's my Lord. He's my master. He saved me from a pitiful life. So thankful. And Luke chapter 22 says, in the hours before his arrest, he yearned for a time with his disciples. He ate with them. He talked with them. He sang with them. And during those times, they were changed. And in those times that we yearn to spend time with him, when we sing with him, we pray with him, we will be changed. And it's when we spend time with him. And that time can only be, it's just you and him. It's not anyone else. In fact, in those times, it doesn't matter about anyone else. Time kind of stops. It's just you and him. I think that's the time when we actually touch the eternal, right? We live in a world that's corrupt. Take the time out to touch him, to touch the eternal, because it's just so worth it. We've been redeemed, and we've been redeemed, and we've been comforted by him. In Luke 24, after the resurrection, Jesus seeks out his disciples again. Think about it. After the resurrection, okay, the first people he wants to go back and see. I want to see my disciples. And when it says, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and they were afraid. And they thought they had seen a ghost, a spirit. And he's like, why are you troubled? Don't doubt. Don't doubt in your hearts. And I could read on. That's in Luke chapter 24. But then he goes and says, okay, I'm going to show you guys that this is not a spirit. I'm who I am. Do you have any food? He ate with them. Oh, praise God. We get to choose to follow him, and it's a choice. He's still calling today. He's still calling today. And we play a big part in that choosing for not only ourselves, but other people. Because other people are watching us. They're looking at our lives. They see, wow, you had a struggle, but you're on top of it. You're trusting the Lord through all of that. That's amazing. You must have a great trust or a great God or both. Praise God. Matthew chapter 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because you and I may be the only Jesus Christ that they will ever see. Imagine that. You and I may be, they may never open their Bible from the time they're born to the time they pass away. But you, having Christ in you and walking and living and breathing in Soldotna, Kenai, Sterling area, may be the only Jesus they ever see. Praise God. Let that be a shining example of him. Let it be shining. Let it be bright and brilliant. And as I'm getting ready to close, I'm going to just remind you that in doing so, a disciple loves the brethren, loves. John 13, 34, 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciple if you have one for another. What is that love again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Reminder, it is patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. It doesn't keep record of wrong. That's our Lord, and that's love. Praise God. Just getting ready to close. I'm going to read this poem. Okay. This is a poem about discipleship. Don't let your bondage hold you back. Don't let your misfortunes, your dark secrets, or your mischievous ways blind your eyes to the light. Don't let arrogance, pride, fear, or greed mute your ears to the command of his call. Follow me. That's not follow me when, follow me if, or follow me but. It's follow me. without restriction or based upon circumstance. It doesn't leave time to pack a suitcase. It doesn't leave time to say goodbyes. It doesn't promise ease or relaxation. It isn't a decision to think about and ponder that sits disconnected from time. It is a command in the present, a call to action, right here, right now. Throw down your nets far behind you so that you don't get caught in their snare. On the way forward, leave it all behind you to gain it all in front of you and follow me. Praise God, a poem written by Justin Farley. Praise God. Lord, let us preach the word, proclaim it. Let us love people. Just love the way you love. And Lord, keep you closer than anything or anyone on this planet. You, Lord. Because in the end, it's all about me and him. Amen. I just want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, have you decided to follow Jesus? Because I have. That little song goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The second verse. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The third verse. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, Lord, the cross before me. No turning back, Lord. No turning back. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you.